When the roll is called up yonder, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Our theme is something connected to that. It is victory through resurrection. We'll come back to the theme. Last time when I was here in January, we were able to look into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 10. At that time, our hearts were challenged by a question. The question was this: what really matters? What is important? What is of first importance? And in that portion, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So what was important, Paul says, Christ died for our sins. And he was buried, and Christ is risen from the dead. That is the most important thing in our life, should be everybody's life. When all is said and done, when everything is over, the only question remains, what did we do with Christ? When we are on our deathbed, the only thing that matters is, what did we do with Christ and his gospel? So Paul, writing this great resurrection chapter, in the beginning he tells us what is gospel. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And he tells us that that is the most important thing in our life. And if we have made that choice, if we have made Christ the most important matter in our life, then the Bible says we can live a victorious life, because the victory is already won for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. So for today's message, I want to take you to the last 9 verses of the same chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 58. It's a little warm, so I'm going to take my jacket off. I thought I could put this in my pocket. That's why I wore the jacket. Okay, let us turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 58. I'm going to read in the New International Version. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must be clothed itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May the Lord add blessing to his precious word. Now this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, is the resurrection chapter. It gives us a great encouragement to read. Just if you sit down and read this whole chapter, it will give such energy and just such encouragement. And gives us comfort about those who already went to be with the Lord. This portion I'm going to title like Victory Through Resurrection. Victory Through Resurrection. I developed this theme because the word victory is used 3 times in this passage. If you look at the end of verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. Then the beginning of verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Then at the end of verse 57, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the theme is developed that the victory through resurrection. Every believer should live a victorious Christian life. Because I'm going to give you 3 reasons from this this portion. Number one, because of the past victory, that is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, the future victory, that is our resurrection or transformation. And number three, the present victory, that is the resurrection power working through us. Now, to begin this message, I'm going to go to verse 57. That is the past victory. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God is the one who is giving us the victory. He has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this verse is, in a general sense, this verse 57, is a summary of the whole Bible. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 3, we know what happened there. That's where the fall of man took place. Then Genesis chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 22, God's plan to lift the fallen man and make him a victor is revealed. And if you take it a little more specifically, then this verse 57 is a summary of the whole New Testament. Because the redemption of the mankind is the purpose of the New Testament. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his teaching, his death, then his ministry, as he is in heaven now, and the words of encouragement and instructions he has given us through his apostles for us to continue our life here. And if you take a little more specifically, this verse 57 points us back to verse 3 to 5, the same chapter, as well as verse 22 and 23. So I'm going to just read those verses. Chapter 15, verse 3 to 5. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. So here we see that the gospel is given us in a nutshell. Christ died, he was buried, he rose from the dead. And the evidence of his resurrection is that many saw him. The sisters saw him, Peter saw him, 12 disciples saw him, James saw him, 500 believers saw him, Paul also says he saw him. So that is the evidence of that resurrection. Now then the other verse I want to read is verse 22 and 23 of the same chapter. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Verse 21 says, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came also comes through a man. When we look back to the Garden of Eden, in order to understand this verse that God gives us the victory, we have to go and trace a little background, which is very familiar to us. Just let us go back to the Garden of Eden. Here is man, Adam and Eve there, and he's the first Adam. He's the representative of all human being there. And God has placed a fruit in the Garden of Eden and specifically instructed Adam and Eve not to touch that. That was a symbol of dependence, their dependence on God. That was a symbol of their obedience to God. But by touching that fruit, by eating that fruit, they declared independence from God. They declared disobedience, rebellion. And that sin originated with Satan and came to the mankind through Adam. And man fell, and his fall was great. Satan won a great victory there. Now we know the package Satan sold to Adam, Eve was, if you eat this fruit, you will be like God. It was plus pleasing to the eyes and make one wise and want to be like God. Everybody wants to be like God. Everybody wants to be God. But Jesus, who is God, nobody wants to make him God. That is the condition of the world today. But man fell. But God, in his wisdom, in his mercy, in his love, decided to redeem man before the foundation of the world. And he sent his one and only son, the final Adam, the second Adam. When Jesus came into this earth as a man, we know Satan approached him again, right after his baptism. And the same package he sold to Jesus Christ. He told him, make this stone bread. Because we know man always worry about tummy. And many times we live for that one purpose, many people, to take care of our body, feed our desires and our appetites. But Jesus won victory there. Then honor and was said, he was taken to the temple and told to jump, said angels will carry him, and instant glory, instant fame, instant honor. In today's words, we can say you'll be in nightly news with Dan Rather the 2020 with Barbara Walters, or nightly news with Ted Koppel, you know, instant honor. But Jesus did not want that. And again, he took him to the mountain and offered the world. The world is very attracting to the believers even. But Christ won victory to Satan. And we read in the scripture that Satan left Christ for a season. Then he came back again number of times. We can see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a place of surrender. Every temptation was thrown towards Jesus again there. But Satan, I'm imagining Satan could have said, you know, the disciples are sleeping, nobody cares about you, why don't you just pursue your mission? Why you care about these people? But Jesus finally said, Father God, it's not my will, but thy will be done. And the agony and the pain, we know the blood was dropping, the sweat was dropping like blood. But Jesus won victory again in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then he was taken to the trial all through the night. Then a crown was placed on him. He was beaten. He was taken to the Gabbatha, that is the place, the judgment seat where Pilate was sitting. And that is the place of rejection. Barabbas was chosen in place of him. And he was taken to Golgotha, a place of death. And that road to Calvary is very rugged. It is stony. It is crooked. It is uphill. And he was carrying that wooden cross. It seems like a failure. But on that cross of Calvary, our Lord Jesus took all that wicked man through the influence of Satan, unleashed towards the Son of God. Every agony, every evil, he took it all for us. The death he took for us. Even God's wrath upon mankind, eternal damnation, he took it all for us. And on the third day, he came out of that grave. And he was victorious. The victory is won. Now Satan cannot sting us anymore. God has reduced Satan to a bee. The sting he took upon himself. Now only Satan can do is buzz now. He cannot sting us anymore. Jesus Christ won victory. That is the verse we see in 57 of this chapter 15. It says, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important event in the history. That's where the death is completely defeated once for all. Now, this is in this hope we live. Now, this is the victory, the past victory. Jesus won that victory for us. Now, I want to take you to the next victory. That is the future victory. That is the gist of this passage. It mostly speaks about the future victory. So, let us go back to verse 50 for that. Now, this victory comes when Jesus returns. Verse 50, I declare to you, brothers, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. Now, what is the mystery here? Some say resurrection is the mystery, but the Old Testament speaks about the resurrection. If you turn back one verse, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, we can see resurrection mentioned there, Isaiah 26, 19. But your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. So that resurrection is brought out in that passage. One day the earth is going to give birth to the dead. The dead will arise, come out of the earth. And many other places resurrection is mentioned. So that is not the mystery. Mystery is something never revealed before. We know the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord Jesus for his saints is a mystery. In the Gospels, our Lord Jesus, whenever he mentioned his coming, he generalized his coming. He never mentioned particularly that he is coming for his, he never revealed that rapture. But Paul was given that mystery. But I believe the mystery here is the transformation of the living. The change we are going to come across. But it is connected with the rapture of the church and the coming of our Lord Jesus. So the victory comes when Christ returned for us. The rapture, the coming of our Lord Jesus is the coronation day for us. That is the blessed hope. We were all waiting for it. Apostle Paul lived in expectation of his coming when he was writing this epistle to Corinthians. I remember my grandparents saying while in India, the first time when the plane flew over our town in the nighttime, many believers rushed outside thinking the Lord is coming because they never had an experience like that. The reason they were not foolish, the reason that they were living in expectation of Christ coming, because this is their food, this was their life, the Lord and everything connected with him. So Paul was living in an expectation of his coming when he wrote this. This is the blessed hope we read in Titus chapter 2. This is the day all our sorrows will be over. Our frail bodies will be made new. All those dear ones who went before us, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 13, chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, that when Christ comes, God is going to bring with him those who are sleeping in Christ, those who are already going to be with the Lord. So this is a blessed day when Jesus comes again. So the victory comes when Jesus comes with Christ's return for us. Now, secondly, this future victory comes with a change in all believers. That's what we see here, a change in all believers. Why do we need a change? Speaking about the physical change in the body. If you look at very carefully, we can see verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is the living. In our body, we cannot go to heaven. In our body, we cannot be part of the kingdom of God. This body is designed to live in this earth. We know when the astronauts went to moon or the space, they have a special suit which is suited for that atmosphere, that environment, because they cannot survive otherwise. So our body is made to survive in the earth. It cannot survive in the other realm, the heavenly realm. So a change is needed. The living will be changed. That's the flesh and blood. Then it says the perishable cannot inherit the imperishable. What is the perishable? Another King James says the corruptible cannot inherit the incorruptible. That is the dead bodies already lying in the grave. That is perished. Thousands of years, 2,000 years, the believers have been going to be with the Lord, their body going back to the dust from which it is taken. And it's already part of the dust. It is perished. And that cannot, that body which is perishing, that dead body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So that need to be changed too. So a change is needed. And when and how that change will take place, the word of God says, verse 52, in a flash, in the tingling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So the dead will be raised, and we will be changed. How and when? In a flash. Another word, in a moment. The original word says, in an atom of a second. That means a fraction of a second which cannot be divided anymore. Atom is something we cannot divide. When we divide an atom, that explosion takes place. That's how they invented the atom bomb. But the atom of a second, an indivisible fraction of a second, it would take place. That means it could happen before I say the next word. It says, in a twinkling of an eye. It is interpreted like the blinking of an eye, or it is the sparkling of the eye. You know, you can just look in, you know, the eye sparkles in the eye, the twinkling star, the sparkle, little sparkle. That is the imagery used here. That means very little time is needed. And the last trumpet. It is not the last trumpet in a series of trumpet, but it's the last in time. We read that when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. It is the last trumpet. When that happens, it is all over for us. We don't know when it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. The Lord has won victory for us. He has washed us with his blood and made us his children. We can live in that in anticipation of his coming. It could be today. It could be before we finish this message. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. We don't know. But we have to live in the expectation of his coming any moment. That means we have to clean up our life, clean up our act. We have to, once the trumpet is sound, there is no more time. If we need to make right, relationship right with anybody, this is the time to do it. Because once the trumpet is sounded, there's no more chance. Everything had to be set right before that. If we need to forgive someone, we have to do it. If we need to ask forgiveness to someone, we have to do it. There's not much time left to do the work of the Lord. This is the day. While, let us work while it is still day. So the trumpet will sound, and in the fraction of a second, the Lord will come. And this is the truth of the word of God. We don't know what day, we don't know what year, we don't know what month, but we know it will happen in a moment. Do we believe it? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Then we have a great responsibility to live, because that faith, that truth should mold our life and control our actions and our behavior. So who will be changed? The next, we saw why a change is needed. We saw when and how the change will take place, and who will be changed. Verse 52 and 53 says, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. First it says, dead will be changed, then the living will be changed. The dead will be resurrected. That perishable become imperishable. That corruptible become incorruptible. Then it says, we are mortal, right? We are going to die. It says the mortal become immortal. And we are going to pass death and will be transformed. So the dead believers will be changed into a new body, and the alive believers will be changed into a new body. And that's what we see in verse 53. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, or the corruptible with incorruptible, and the mortal with immortality. That is the condition before the rapture. Now we are going to see the condition after the rapture. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. When that happens, it happens according to the scripture. And that verse, death has been swallowed up in victory, is taken from Isaiah chapter 25 verse 8. So the victory comes according to the scriptures. It's already written in the word of God. It is no accident. Will not happen by chance. It's all planned by God. And it is already written. So the victory comes according to the scriptures. Then the victory comes with a celebration. That's what we see in verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Now those who are raised from dead and those who are transformed will point at death, and they will ask this question. There's a celebration. And those who raised from dead point at death and say, Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, you thought you had me. You thought you had me confined in the grave for eternity. But look at me now. I have my new body back. Where, oh death, is your victory? And the question the transformed one will be asking is the next one. Where, oh death, is your sting? See, the wages of sin is death, right? So we were all destined to die, both physically and spiritually. But we are redeemed from spiritual death by Christ's death on the cross. But if the Lord does not come, we will die physically. But if the Lord comes, we'll be transformed without seeing death. If that happens, we can point to death and challenge death and say, Oh, death, you never had me. I didn't even go to grave. See, look at me. I'm transformed without even seeing death. So there's a great celebration for both dead and alive alike. So the victory comes with a celebration. That's what we see. The victory, this is the future victory. This will surely happen. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many of us are getting old. Our body is not young as it used to be. My wife was she has a weak body, pale, different alignments, and I see you, some of you are getting weak and frail, but this is temporal. You're going to get a new body. We are all going to get a new body. This will be over. The pain will be over. The sorrow will be over. We will be like queen and princess in the presence of God, in the glorious body, in the new body. Let us turn to a couple of verses. We can see that truth. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Let me read from verse 18. So there's some truth there. Maybe we can take that too. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Our lowly bodies will be transformed into the marvelous, glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called through the gospel to share the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. A new body, all the blessings of heaven, all the glory and inheritance of our Lord Jesus Christ is our inheritance. It is our right. It is for us. It is a great motivation to live right while we wait for his coming. So take your heart, brothers and sisters. If you are weak and frail, we are all going to get a new body. And the Lord Jesus promised that he will do it. One more verse I want to bring it to your attention. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Verse 22 onwards. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of a childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we are saved. So, what is the hope of our redemption? What is the hope of our salvation? It is the redemption of our body. The hope of our salvation is the redemption of our body. The body is, body is important to us. We spend lots of time and energy and money to take care of our body. And the Lord is going to take care of it when he comes. So it is a great encouragement what is in store for us. Now that is the motivation, the future resurrection or the future victory through our resurrection. Now, because of the past victory, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of the future victory, our resurrection, Paul is telling us about the present victory. He is motivating us to do something. What he is saying? Verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, the power of sin is broken. The power of the Holy Spirit is given to us. The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, which broke the seal of Roman Empire, is with us today. So we can live a victorious life. Paul is exhorting us through the Holy Spirit to stand firm, fixed, settled, marked by a firm conviction and a purpose of the heart to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing, let nothing move us. Fixed in our conviction. Then he says, let nothing move you. No wind of wrong doctrine. Let that move us. Let us be fixed in the truth of the gospel. And thirdly, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do everything for the sake of the gospel. Paul says, I do everything for the sake of the gospel. Paul says, I declare gospel. Paul says, I demonstrate gospel in my life. So our life from morning till night, whatever we do must have something to do with the gospel. We have all have responsibilities, but the sole purpose of everything we do must somehow influence the expansion of the kingdom of God. Because that's the only purpose the Lord has left the church here. He says the Lord would have come long time ago if he is waiting. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 and 10 says he is waiting so that few more may get saved, become part of the kingdom of God. That's why he had left the church here, so that few more may get saved. So somehow our life has to influence, somehow our life must influence others to see the gospel. Somehow our life must have something to do with the gospel. The word of God says we do not belong to us anymore. We are bought with a price, and we belong to the Lord. So that's what Paul says in verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. If what we saw here in this portion of the scripture about the victory the Lord Jesus Christ won for us through resurrection, about the victory we're going to have in the future through our transformation and the resurrection of the dead, about the victory we can achieve now through the Holy Spirit and through the power, through the resurrection power, then Paul says we must take our life very seriously to live for the Lord, to do everything which somehow might be connected with the gospel and the kingdom of God. May the Lord help us so that we may live a life which is pleasing to him. We may live expecting his coming. We may live to influence the expansion of the kingdom of God. And while we live, let us take heart. Let us find comfort that our lowly bodies will be changed to his glorious body someday. We have already given victory through our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. Verse 57 again. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let Christ be our life. Let us do everything for him. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. May God bless and guide and help us with these words. Shall we?